What's going on, y'all? Welcome back to Clown Questions, the show where there are no dumb questions. I'm your host, Matt K. Maurer, and if you're wondering why I have a smug look on my face, it's because I'm about to ask the question, what the fuck just happened? And I'll gladly put a dollar in the F-bomb jar for that. I'll attempt to answer that question in addition to some other questions. First interruption with Anthony Edwards, Super Bowl picks, and we have the star of Beast Games, player 385, Goose. He will be joining us in studio today. So that should be a lot of fun. I think so. I haven't interviewed him yet, but it should be good. So who's down to clown?
That's a clown question, bro.
So what the fuck just happened? I'm out of singles, so I'll put a post-it note in here and I'll update it as I say more F-bombs during the show. But what the F just happened? We had Luka Doncic traded to the Los Angeles Lakers. It happened and most people thought it was fake. I was at my aunt's cabin. It happened. I chucked my vape, woke some people up, and I didn't believe it. Everyone thought Shams had been hacked, but he tweeted out later, it's 1,000% real. So the full trade, the Lakers are getting Luka Doncic, Maxi Kleber, and Markieff Morris. The Mavericks are getting Anthony Davis, Max Christie, and a 2029 Lakers first rounder. And somehow the Jazz are involved. I feel like the Jazz are always the third team just watching the blockbuster deal go down. The Jazz got Lakers legend Jalen Hood-Schifino, as well as some picks. This is crazy. This is a seismic shift in the NBA. One of the, if not the biggest trade in history, NBA or otherwise. The only other trade I can think that was comparable is like the Great Train Robbery. The Cowboys traded Herschel Walker for 1,000 different players. Other than that, it's like the Babe Ruth trade, maybe, you know, when the Red Sox traded him. He literally cursed an entire franchise for years. And I think that could be what happens to the Mavericks here. They might be cursed after trading Luka. Mavericks fans are beside themselves. They held like a funeral. They brought a casket out in front of the stadium. You're talking about, we should have a statue. One guy said this Dirk statue's got a quote about loyalty. Apparently loyalty is only from the players because the front office sure as hell ain't loyal when you're trading a bona fide superstar like Luka Doncic, who got you to the NBA Finals last season. So that's what happened. The Mavs have Anthony Davis now, and my Lakers have Luka Doncic. I'm overjoyed as a Lakers fan. LeBron and Luka are the only two players in NBA history to have career averages of 27-7-7. So I think it's going to be special. Granted, we do need a center because we traded Anthony Davis, one of the best centers in the entire league, specifically defensively. He's pretty damn good offensively too. But yeah, we need a center. No disrespect to Jackson Hayes, but if we play the Nuggets in the playoffs, I don't want Jackson Hayes guarding Jokic. That's the definition of barbecue chicken. But real quick, I just wanted to say thank you to Anthony Davis as a Lakers fan. I will never forget how you carried us to that championship in the bubble in 2020. Obviously, you had that memorable buzzer beater game winner against the Denver Nuggets. And, you know, LeBron won finals MVP. But let's be honest, Anthony Davis was our best player for that, you know, that playoff run. So I'll forever be grateful to Anthony Davis for what he did as a Laker, getting LeBron to his fourth championship. But yeah, it was interesting. AD actually waived a $5.9 million trade kicker. So basically he forwent. I don't know if either of these are words. He forewent $5.9 million in order to make the trade happen. That was kind of interesting. I mean, I don't know why he would give up $6 million, but maybe he just kind of thought, he's like, if they really want to trade me, you know what? Screw it. I don't care about the money. I'll go play with Kyrie and Klay Thompson out in Dallas. A lot of people are saying that's a better short-term move for the Mavericks and a long-term move for the Lakers. Defensively, the Mavericks just shot up many levels with, you know, a perennial Defensive Player of the Year candidate in Anthony Davis. I wonder whose team it is now. I think, you know, many people think, oh, it's Kyrie's team, but it might be Anthony Davis's team. I think he's the best player there. So we'll see what happens with the Mavericks, but just such a weird trade. The Lakers pair a star with LeBron, but more importantly, he's their succession plan to LeBron. But the old joke is, what are the Lakers going to do to build around LeBron once Luka retires? So, yeah, I have no explanation for this trade. I've seen some conspiracy theories. Dr. Jones told me a conspiracy. He thinks, you know, NBA ratings are down. So Adam Silver called it in. What better way to increase ratings than to make headlines the week of the Super Bowl so much that people care way more about the NBA than they do about a potentially historic Super Bowl? That's Dr. Jones' theory. You know, he thinks it's completely rigged. It's, you know, Luka's there to increase ratings. But I think a conspiracy theory that makes a little more sense is that this trade was not pushed through by Nico Harrison, the Mavericks GM, but rather their ownership group. This ownership group has allegedly been trying to build like a super casino. I don't even know if that's a word, but it's like a resort casino, and they want it to be centered around the Dallas Mavericks stadium. Apparently, they've had some trouble pushing this through the Texas legislature. So, you know, the tinfoil hat brain is saying, why do you trade? You know, your team's worth, what, $5 billion? Luka Doncic is maybe $700 to $1 billion worth of that valuation. Why would you get rid of your most profitable player? And that's because maybe they don't think they can open that casino. They've had those problems in the legislature. So their plan B, if they can't open that casino in Texas, is to move the team to Vegas. But you can't move a team to Vegas after they just made the finals when they've got a superstar. So that could be what the owners are doing here. They're trying to tank the value of the Mavericks here by trading away a superstar and getting the fans to turn your back on you. I think a lot of people, a lot of Mavericks fans are saying, you know what, I'm not a Mavericks fan anymore. After making a stupid trade like this, you're trading Luka Doncic. So that's the tinfoil hat theory, is that they're tanking the value of their own team. So if they don't get the casino open in Dallas, they can just up and move the team to Vegas. If, you know, Kyrie and AD, after they're, you know, retired, you know, it might not be such a great team anymore. But that's, you know, tinfoil hat brain. But you have to go tinfoil hat brain on here because it's such a puzzling trade. But yeah, all I can say is thank you, AD. I loved your service as a Lakers fan, and I'm fucking excited. We'll put another dollar in the F-bomb jar because I don't know what the F is going on. But I'm excited. We had a bunch more trades happen in the NBA, and I think this Luka trade really influenced a lot of them. I think the GM saw that and said, shit, we got to make a move. So my next question is, can the Spurs make some noise? So Sacramento actually, a few days ago, finalized a trade sending De'Aaron Fox to the San Antonio Spurs in a multi-team trade that moves Zach LaVine to the Kings. So the full trade is the Spurs get De'Aaron Fox and Jordan McLaughlin. Don't know McLaughlin. Nothing to say on him. Kings got Zach LaVine, City Cisco from the Spurs, who I also don't know. and in addition, the Kings got 3 first-round picks and 3 second-round picks. The Bulls get Zach Collins, Trey Jones, Kevin Huerter. Kevin Herter's the only name I know there. Good three-point shooter. And they get their own 2025 pick back via the Kings. Personally, I love De'Aaron Fox. I love the idea of having De'Aaron Fox and Wemby kind of team up and try to build their future from there. But personally, I do think that the Sacramento Kings won this trade because of all of the picks they received. Like I said, San Antonio has formed a formidable duo for years to come. But how crazy is that? The Kings arguably got a bigger return for De'Aaron Fox than the Mavericks got for Luka Doncic. They got, you know, a perennial star in Zach LaVine and a whole bunch of picks. All the Lakers had to do was give him AD and a first rounder and what's that other guy's name? Max Christie, you know. So it seems like the Kings are the winners here. They've been wanting to ship off Fox, and now they've got something to build with in the future with LaVine and all those picks. Let's go back to the Mavericks. Can the Mavs win this trade? Yes, I do think they can win this trade, but only if they win a championship. They have to, you know, Luka brought you to the championship. So trading him, you have to get back to a place where you win a championship, because even if you kept Luka and you didn't get back to the finals, you're in the mix every year. But when you got a 32-year-old AD and a 33-year-old Kyrie, your window is small. You know, you got 2 to 3 years. So I do think the Mavs can win this trade. They maybe have won in the short term because they do have a more complete team. I think they're a better team than the Lakers right now, to be honest. Just they're more well-rounded overall. But I think the only way they win this trade is if they win a championship. And I think, despite what the ownership group may think with my tinfoil hat brain, I think the GM is trying to stay in win-now mode, try to win a championship this year. The Mavs did make another trade. They actually traded with the 76ers. Caleb Martin has been sent from Philadelphia to Dallas. Dallas is sending back Quentin Grimes and a second-round pick in return. Caleb Martin, great player. He really showed up and showed out that kind of one game. Jimmy Butler needed a break and got the Heat to the finals a few years ago against the Nuggets. But yeah, I think the Mavs can win the trade, but only if they win a championship. So Anthony Davis, Kyrie, and Klay, it's on that big three to get it done, and we'll see what happens. All the NBA news, it seems like all NBA news on today's show, and that's because most of it is, which is funny because it's Super Bowl week, and this is usually the week where you talk about nothing but football, but no one even cares about football right now because we keep asking the question, why is everyone getting traded? So another big trade that came across my desk this morning was between the Milwaukee Bucks and the Washington Wizards. The Milwaukee Bucks are trading Chris Middleton in exchange for Kyle Kuzma. The full trade is Middleton, AJ Johnson, and a pick swap to the Wizards in exchange for Kyle Kuzma and Patrick Baldwin Jr. I don't think Bucks fans wanted this. I don't think Bucks fans wanted Kyle Kuzma. But at the same time, I would say they sort of asked for it. And I know they weren't specifically asking for Kuzma, but I feel like the rumble around Twitter, and I heard a lot of Bucks fans saying they wanted to trade Chris Middleton. Now, I think they were expecting a little bit bigger of a return. I kept bringing up Jimmy Butler to the Bucks fans. They didn't seem to want him. I think there's a lot of bad blood there. But it seemed like they did want to trade Chris Middleton. And here they have, they acquire a big man in Kuzma and a pretty good player in Patrick Baldwin Jr., who I believe is a Milwaukee native. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, but yeesh. I don't love the trade for the Bucks. I think you could have paired Middleton with someone else. And personally, I think they should have went after Jimmy Butler. I don't know if Butler's from Milwaukee, but he played at Marquette, so he's got the Milwaukee connection there. Yeah, I guess congrats to Bucks fans on getting Kyle Kuzma. Lakers legend, you know, won a championship. But yeah, not the player Bucks fans were after, unfortunately. A couple other trade things. The Clippers are trading PJ Tucker and Mo Bamba to the Jazz for Patty Mills and Drew Eubanks. That was like the first trade out of all of these, and it was the last one I mentioned because it's the least impactful. The Jazz are waving Mo Bamba. I don't know Drew Eubanks much. Patty Mills, good veteran player. PJ Tucker seems like he's on a different team every week. That trade's pretty inconsequential when you think about those other four trades I already listed. So I'm not really going to touch on that one. But I will touch on Cooper Kupp's news. Cooper Kupp actually kind of broke the news to everyone. He posted a video on Twitter. It was like a farewell LA video. Basically, Cooper Kupp was telling the world that the Los Angeles Rams have informed me that they are seeking to trade me. I talked about this earlier in the year. I said, should the Rams trade Kupp? And, you know, you don't love trading your former Super Bowl MVP, one of the better receivers in the league. But I do think I understand their standpoint. You know, Kupp's getting up there in years, and I think they're deciding they'd rather build their offense around young guys like Puka Nacua and Kyron Williams in the future. And they figured, you know, instead of letting him leave in free agency, we might as well get some value out of him. So sad for Cooper Kupp. I know that's, you know, that's his home at this point, but not anymore. Unfortunately, we'll see where he gets traded. Last bit of trade news is Myles Garrett has requested a trade from the Cleveland Browns. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like he's requested a trade before. I think I heard some Browns brass saying they don't want to trade him. But I think the Browns inevitably will trade him. They effed the F up when they got Mr. Rub and Tug, Deshaun Watson. And Myles Garrett is about one of the biggest trade pieces you could have in the NFL. So you trade Garrett, you're going to get at least two first-round picks, probably a starter or two. So I think his time in Cleveland will come to an end prior to this next season. Let's keep moving on. Does anybody care about MLB? That's my next question. Does anyone care about MLB? No. But I do have a little bit of news. The Tigers and Jack Flaherty have agreed to a two-year, $35 million deal. Flaherty is a two-time champion when you include my fantasy baseball championship. What's up? But yeah, I won one with the Dodgers last year. Great pitcher. Carried my pitching staff throughout fantasy baseball. So good pickup for the Tigers there. But the more interesting MLB news is that umpire Pat Hoberg has been fired for sharing betting accounts with a friend who can bet on baseball, though there is no evidence that Hoberg himself bet on games or manipulated any games that he worked. He also deleted messages central to MLB's investigation. Those last two sentences really seem to contradict each other. That you're like, there's no evidence that Pat Hoberg did it. It was his friend. He did delete a lot of text messages, though. Hoberg is the Jonte Porter of referees, of umpires. I think Hoberg's friend might have been Shohei Ohtani's old interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara. Apparently, Hoberg wasn't giving him good advice, because I'm pretty sure Ipe lost a lot of money, and he'll be losing a lot more after he loses that that case. He probably already did lose it. I forget what happened with all that craziness. I don't know. It always just brings me back to the conspiracy that I'm like, are we sure Shohei didn't know? But, you know, MLB will keep him safe. He's their prized pearl. Kind of like the NFL does with Patrick Mahomes. They want to keep their star safe and only in the spotlight for good things. They don't want the scandals to get out there. Last question for y'all today is, do I have to cover everything? No, I don't. I do have to plug in this camera right now just in case it dies. But do I have to cover everything? No, but sometimes I try to. Here's some news. Chip Kelly is the new offensive coordinator of the Raiders. I've been trying to cover all the hirings. I'm not gonna. There's been other DCs, OCs hired since I've talked last, but I'm tired of it. I'm tired of commenting on names I have no knowledge about. But Chip Kelly, I do know about. He set the NFL on fire with Michael Vick and the Eagles a number of years ago. And I think this past season, he was the offensive coordinator of the Ohio State Buckeyes. Nemo was kind of roasting him. He's like, what has Chip Kelly brought to the NFL? I'm like, I don't know. He just won a championship. He's like, oh, he found a way to make Jeremiah Smith and Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins. He found a way to make those guys stars. It's like, it's hard to kind of judge how good of a coordinator is when you have arguably the most talented offense. But I don't know. I think that's a great hiring for the Raiders. That coaching staff with him and Pete Carroll is formidable, to reuse a word I used earlier. Like I said, I missed some of the hirings. That was the only really notable one to me. Some Packers notability is Mason Crosby and Micah Hyde are retiring. Two Packers legends. People probably know Micah Hyde more for his Bills tenure. But yeah, happy trails to those two guys. Two of my, well, I wouldn't say two of my favorite Packers, but I did get to witness a Mason Crosby game-winning field goal in person. We beat the Cowboys. Suck it, Nemo. But yeah, happy trails to those Packers, former Packers legends. Only other piece of news I got for you, y'all, is DeJounte Murray tore his Achilles. Really unfortunate for the Pelicans, who are having a pretty unfortunate season. Murray was averaging 18-6-8 this year. He was having a good year. But yeah, the Pelicans are now 13 games back of the 10 seed. So I would say they're effectively eliminated from the playoffs, especially after they announced Zion Williamson will not be playing back-to-backs. They want to keep him healthy. But, you know, maybe that changes after this Murray injury. I guess I had one more thing before we get to first year interruption. It's the stat of the week. Now, this is not a stat I wanted to really say on the show, but my dad told me, he's like, you got to include this on the show, the stat of the week. And here it is. Carter Gilmore and AJ Storr have made the same number of threes this year. I didn't want to include this stat because you're trying to denigrate AJ Storr just because he's a former Badger and you're using Carter Gilmore to denigrate him. He's like, no, it's a compliment to Gilmore as well as a slight to AJ Storr. I'm like, whatever. Gilmore, that white boy, been cooking recently. He had a fadeaway elbow three-pointer yesterday. I'm like, what the hell? What? How? You know, I saw it at my high school at Arrowhead, but glad to see he's been cooking on the Badgers this year. I'm hoping for whatever. I'm not gonna say I don't want to jinx anything, but Carter, keep it up. You've been cooking. Stat of the week: you got the same number of threes as AJ Storr. And AJ Storr's whatever, the million-dollar man riding the bench in Kansas. I don't like roasting college athletes as much as I like roasting pro athletes, because, you know, pro athletes, they get paid enough money to where it's like, just block out the noise. But college, you know, whatever. But let's just keep talking basketball. Seems like this whole show has been about basketball. Don't worry, I'll talk a little Super Bowl at the end. Probably talk a little Super Bowl with Goose. Now we got the first year interruption segment. So today's first year interruption is going to be with Minnesota Timberwolves superstar Anthony Edwards. They kind of asked him about this Luka trade, and he had some interesting thoughts on that. So here it is, first year interruption with Ant Edwards.
A little off topic here, but trade deadlines this week. You weren't here the other night, and the trade that kind of shook the whole NBA went down. What did you think of the Luka trade and your thoughts on just the business of the NBA?
They say that nobody knew about the trade. Yeah, so that's crazy. At 25, they traded probably the best scorer in the NBA at 25. And he didn't know about it. So it's a lot more digging somebody got to do to find out why he got traded. Because you don't just trade him at 25. He just went to the finals, you know what I'm saying? So I feel bad for Luka, man, because I saw some on YouTube that said he just bought a crib and everything in Dallas. So that sucks, man. That sucks.
Does it inform, like, you at 23?
Everybody get informed, yeah.
I was going to say, like,
I'm scared.
How you see the league.
Yeah. I'm scared. Tim, hey, no, if you're going to trade me, let me know, dog. When Luka got traded, anybody is able to get traded at that point.
Finchie was saying that they were very happy with their investment in you. Does that give you at least a little comfort?
Thank God. I just bought a crib, too.
Anthony Edwards just bought a crib. Luka Doncic, unfortunately, apparently, I guess he bought a $15 million crib in Dallas. But I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting interview with Anthony Edwards. He's like, everybody's getting informed. He's like, no one knew about the trade. He's like, I'm getting informed. He's like, they traded the best scorer in the league who just went to the finals at age 25. Anthony's like, I don't feel safe. He's like, I don't think anyone should feel safe. In my mind, there's maybe only three players right now in the NBA now that are untradeable. That's Jokic, Victor Wembanyama, and Giannis Antetokounmpo. Those are the only three guys I really see as untouchable. But like Ant said, everyone's getting informed, and I think a lot of GMs are pissed off at this trade because I think the only other call the Mavericks made to ship off Luka Doncic was to the Milwaukee Bucks, and they said, can we have Giannis? And the Bucks said, get the fuck out of here. There's another dollar for the F-bomb jar. We'll do it a post-it note. I think I got a $5 bill. I'll fix that soon. But yeah, everyone's getting informed. I think the GMs are pissed off that they only made two calls to trade who Anthony Edwards called the best scorer in the league. So I think, you know, I think the trade deadline's tomorrow, so I'm not going to, you know, be able to get all the news. I should say I'm taping this midday, so I might miss some stuff and it might be posted with a few trades missing, but I don't know. I'm excited because I think some crazy stuff's bound to happen. You know, hopefully for Jimmy Butler's sake, he gets traded, but I've seen rumblings about even Kevin Durant getting traded. So could be some more star players on the move. And yeah, that'll be cool. The NBA no longer has a ratings problem. They're back, baby. But speaking of star players, we got player 385 in the building today. Goose is loose. Great interview with him. Let's get to that. Back on this couch here in person. First in person Goose interview. Haven't done it yet, but I would be willing to bet it went well. So thanks again for pulling up, Goose. Here he is, Mr. Player 385.
All right, now pulling up to the pod is Player 385 from Beast Games, the originator of the Oh My God meme. It is reoccurring guest, Goose. Goose, thanks so much for joining me on the show, man. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, it's great to be here. In the flesh, first time in the flesh.
In studio.
I know there's only a couple podcast guests that have had the privilege to come over here and be in front of the camera and in the same room and share your presence. So.
Yeah, I'm going to have to update the intro. I update it for everyone who's in person.
Let's go.
In my janky-ass studio. Got broken mic stands. They're all propped up by chairs, but
the framing looks great, though.
They're out of view. Yeah, they're out of view of the frame.
They can't see the behind-the-scenes put-together studio here.
Yeah, it's very professional. But so obviously you're wearing the Beast Games hat, you're represented. So obviously I wanted to talk a lot about that today. A lot of NBA trades. So I want to bring those up, and then we got the Super Bowl. I wanted to talk to you about whether or not that's rigged. But let's start with Beast Games. So
of course.
Anyone who hasn't watched Beast Games and plans on watching it, spoiler alert for the next, you know, maybe I'll make a timestamp in so I don't spoil it, but, how the hell was Beast Games? You were on Amazon Prime Video, bro. How the hell was that?
Yeah, that was it was amazing. Very unexpected. The whole entire process from start to finish probably started last March. And then obviously the show came out in December. So it was a lot of work getting through all the paperwork, filling.
So it just came out like in December, but you kind of filmed during the summer.
Yeah. So the timeline was roughly this. So the initial application I found on LinkedIn, which was kind of random.
LinkedIn.
Around March. Yeah. I try to connect with some of the people in that industry because obviously that'd be a cool place to work one day.
Yeah.
So then one of them posted it. I know they ran ads on Instagram too, but I was actually looking for a job, and then I found Beast Games, and that kind of put a halt on my job search.
Yeah, like screw it, job. I'm trying to be on Mr. Beast's show.
Yeah, exactly. That could be, if you play your cards right, that could be bigger than a job. $5 million bigger than a job, but we'll get to that in a second. But
yeah.
So it was a 1-minute video application. I filled that out, and then it was a lot of paperwork, a lot of health forms, a lot of NDAs to sign. And then I was waiting. I had to expedite my passport to come as I didn't have a passport. I lied initially about having a passport. Then I had to actually go get a passport.
You didn't lie if you got it eventually, right?
Yeah, it wasn't that big of a deal. I just had to email them and they're like, yeah, when it comes in, just.
Oh, okay. There you
go. So they were very, like, very approachable and very nice and actually very good at communicating back and forth. So
was it only Americans allowed in it?
Yes, it was.
Okay. But then
because the initial part was in Vegas and then they flew us all out.
But then you filmed the rest in Canada.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So, and then the top 60 who made it to the island went to Panama.
That was Panama?
Yeah. So,
why did I think that that helicopter that took you to the island was, you know, going a couple miles? The helicopter flew all the way from Canada to Panama?
No, the helicopter.
Insane.
they did just fly a couple miles and they waited in a hotel. And I think they all took a plane together, though, to Panama, which would be pretty, pretty cool.
Okay, but so then for these last couple episodes, they're back in Beast City. So you're telling me they flew to Panama and then flew back to Canada to film the final?
Yeah, so they went back to the same city.
That doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, Mr. Beast.
I mean, I know they had the craziest budget. They had a $100 million budget. I think they went well over budgets, but it's all about location. I know Mr. Beast and his team are very particular about their shots and about what they're doing, so... Yeah. I mean, they literally went to Panama for just one episode, too, which I think is just kind of hilarious.
Yeah.
But
just to give away that island, I mean.
Yeah.
But yeah. But yeah, those of you who haven't seen it, it's one of the biggest game shows ever. It starts off with 1,000 people, and the final winner gets $5 million. But I wanted to talk about, you had a number of moments. I say a number because it's very few.
Yeah, you can count them on one hand how many moments I had in the show.
But so you have a moment that's been going viral. I feel like you're kind of the one who's been posting these and then going viral. But did you come up with the viral "Oh my God" line, or is that like a reference to something else? You're quoting some other film.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to really figure out where the inspiration came from because, as I mentioned before, it was just completely off the dome, unscripted.
Wow.
Just like a natural reaction. Damn. And you can clearly see in the episode, they put it in a specific part where all the tension's building up. It really like sinks you into the TV. It makes you really focus. Like, it's one of those lines that just transcends time and I think any form of entertainment. So,
yeah, absolutely. Well said. So how was you went to the watch party, right? There was a watch party in LA, I believe.
Yes.
Right.
So
this
was crazy. So they invited so obviously in Vegas, it started with 2,000 people and then the 1,000 people went to Toronto and they hosted a watch party a couple days prior. So you could see just the first two episodes. It was just the first episode that he showed us.
Okay.
But the crazy thing was they sent out the RSVP probably 4 or 5 days before the actual watch party.
They didn't give you a lot of notice. 1,000. Yeah.
They didn't give a lot of notice.
They probably didn't want all 1,000 to show up, I guess.
But the turnout was still ridiculous. I think it was 600 or so of the 1,000 on their own dime flew out.
Yeah.
And on their own dime stayed in a hotel. So I think it just shows you how excited everybody was and like how much of a community was kind of built around this. Even though you don't really get a grasp of all of that in the show, we've known each other for a couple weeks in Vegas, and then up to that point, as long as we were on the show, for another couple weeks for some people. But yeah, I love a lot of the contestants I met. I made some great friends. I made some lifelong friends.
Yeah.
And the watch party was awesome. I mean, it was just super cool. I was lucky to get front row.
Okay. You're hanging out with Chandler, Jimmy, or any of those guys?
Yeah, we didn't really like hang out with them much, but they came around and shook hands and took pictures.
Yeah.
Jimmy himself kind of... After the first episode, I mean, he came out, talked to us, and then after the first episode, he kind of went behind the curtains, because otherwise he would just be bombarded. Everyone wants a picture with him, obviously.
Yeah, right. Go ahead.
You can go.
I saw that picture of you, like, standing at a podium. Was that at the watch party? Were you giving some sort of speech, or what was that?
Yeah, so at the watch party, there was obviously the stage. Everything was branded Beast Games. It looked very professional.
Yeah.
And then there was probably about an hour as people were ushering in where we could just hang around. And at that point, I had a few drinks and then I had a few more drinks before the show even started.
Sure.
So
you went up there drunk and gave a speech.
Yeah, I didn't actually give a speech. I saw one person.
Because that's what it looked like. That's what I thought it
was. I was going for that kind of pose.
Yeah.
There was a cameraman who was going around taking pictures. And then one guy went on the stage and was like, "Yo, take a picture of me on the stage." And I was like, "Can we go on the stage?"
Yeah.
I went up second. Then a whole entire line started forming on the stage. So I got in and got out pretty quickly.
Okay.
And then some of those guys ended up getting cut off because we had to actually start watching the premiere. But it was, I mean, it was just pretty chaotic. A lot of people were enjoying themselves. They were pretty drunk. They gave us popcorn. They gave us a bunch of stuff. There was also a bar in the hotel that we were at. So people are getting even more drinks before. And I asked for a shot of tequila. I went back out before the premiere started and then came back and I asked for a shot of tequila. And He poured the shot of tequila, and then I took it already because I was just trying to get down to business. It was $23 for one shot of tequila.
Hotel
in Los Angeles. So.
Bro.
I was like, I had like a very shocked look on my face. I was like, that would be like $5-6 in Wisconsin, but.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that sounds like a hell of a time. So what? We got two more episodes left. Two more on Prime Video. Do you know who won? I know you're not allowed to say, right. But do you know who won?
No, I don't know who won.
Sure. Were you close with any of like the remaining, I think there's 10 players left?
Yeah, so it's the top 10 right now. I wasn't overly close with any of them.
Okay.
The closest person who made it the furthest, I would say, was my friend Colton, who in episode 7 was Akira's best friend.
Oh, that he was on the train track.
Yeah.
Okay,
which I still met him pretty late into Beast City, but he's in like our group chat of like our closer group.
Sure.
And obviously he has all his friends in like top 60 who are just cooler than us anyways. But he was the closest. And then Queen, I knew Queen a little bit. Brittany.
Sure.
I think she's like, I don't remember what her number is, but
she... It's too many numbers to remember.
I know. And the crazy thing is like the show... Mr. Beast would say, too, he'd be like, refer to them by the numbers.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, as the show goes on, you get to know their names.
Sure.
But Queen, I ended up just crossing paths with her a lot, whether it was, like, a bus ride to the Cubes in episode 3 or just seeing her around. But she was always, like, very lighthearted.
Yeah.
She was kind of like a friend to all, very positive. And then Tawana saved me by not taking $1 million.
Yeah.
So I can't help but root for her.
She didn't take the bribe.
Yeah. But in terms of... they did like a really good job making sure that top 10, like everything stays very confidential. So I think they probably gave them some instructions to make sure like,
like an additional NDA.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they signed more paperwork and they would get sued into the ground if anything really got out. So I'm in the dark as well as anyone else watching at home.
Sure.
But I'm rooting for Tawana cause she saved me.
Yeah. She deserves it. You give up $1 million to save your team. I think you deserve to win the $5 million.
And then she took like her fair share. I don't know if you saw episode 8.
Yeah. I think I'm caught up. Yeah.
Okay. That's the one where it's like $1 million, then you could take the portion of it.
Yeah.
She took her fair share of 100,000. So she's playing very fair. And I would hope that karma would be paid back to her.
Playing with honesty and integrity. There's a lot of. There seemed like there was a few people who weren't playing with honesty and integrity. But I wanted to talk about, I forget what he called the game, but there was that one episode where it's basically you and two other people. You're split up in groups of three and you're in a box for, what was it, 6 hours?
Yeah, 5 hours.
5 hours. And they put all they put in there was a telephone, but you can go on the telephone and you can basically ask for any item in the world. So I think the idea was like, you get a Monopoly board, or you get a Mini Hoop or something to help you decide because you have to pick one out of those three people to be eliminated and then the other two move on. So I was curious, you were in there for, I don't know if you were in there for the full 5 hours, if you guys came to a decision earlier. I was curious, what were you up to in that box and how did you guys, because I don't think we saw that shot in the show, how did you guys decide who to eliminate?
Yeah, that was, I think, one of the coolest games I've ever seen for Mr. Beast. If you think about the marble game and Squid Game, where they decide with the marbles how to eliminate the person, it's kind of like that but on steroids a little bit.
And sure.
There's just a lot more possibilities, things that you could do. I think they did a great job capturing a lot of storylines. Unfortunately, ours wasn't as intriguing, which makes sense. Obviously, you kind of start painting villains.
Not as intriguing as the people who got a tea party organized. You know, like the costumes. What did you guys end up doing?
So a little insider info. Mr. Beast mentioned that there was like a suggestion list that you could grab. And that's where you see like a lot of the horse come in. You see the tattoo artist come in. You see some of those other crazy items like the princess, prince costumes.
Yeah.
So those are things that they had on standby. That ideally they would have people pick because it's good content, and that's what it turned out being.
Sure.
We didn't get that list at first, so we just started calling right away. Obviously, asked for pizza.
Got pizza.
Most people got, so we didn't actually get our pizza. A lot of people didn't get what they ordered because it's hard to manage for like 80 different cubes and then go and send people.
80 different cubes ordering pizza.
So they did have a lot of pizzas on standby. So I think if we would have ordered just a pepperoni or a cheese, we would have got it. But
You put in a super specific order.
Yeah, this girl in our queue
like,
wanted
the garlic
vegetarian. Yeah, oh,
she wanted a vegan pizza.
So then it was like half vegetarian, half pepperoni, and then I asked for a stuffed crust as well. So I think that order
like,
just
hey, we got pizza, but just keep it simple. Come on.
Yeah, our order just probably went to the bottom of the list and never came. Then we asked for like a couch and a rug that didn't come.
Dang.
Which isn't like, it was just kind of our fault for it. I mean, we just didn't know what to expect, really.
Did you guys get a TV?
We tried.
We tried? They said no?
No.
It looked like I don't think they thought TV. They thought that probably wouldn't be very interesting to watch you guys.
Well, so I saw there was like a cut of some guy putting like video games on a TV for a little bit. So they did give someone a TV. We eventually ended up asking for markers, and we did get markers.
Yeah.
So we graffitied the entirety of our cube.
Did you get all four walls like covered pretty much?
Yeah.
That's
awesome. By the time we're done.
I wish they'd showed that. I feel like...
So they did send us a picture afterwards. So I have a picture I can send it to
you. Oh, okay. But, yeah, I'd like to see that.
But yeah, we wrote... So I drew giant angel wings behind our handcuffs. And then I wrote rest in beast with a little halo. So whoever handcuffs himself is like an angel and they have like wings and halo. And then
sweet.
It says rest in beast. And we wrote the names of every contestant we could remember under the rest in beast. So it'd be like...
Oh, wow. All the dead... players.
Yeah, all the fallen soldiers.
Yeah.
And I think I think it might have just been like one not as engaging of a storyline. I think we were too like happy, like we were freestyling at the start, we were dancing around.
Yeah.
And then it was still cutthroat at the end. I'll get to what game we played. But
yeah, how long were you guys in there?
So we probably were in there for 4 hours.
So not quite the full five.
Not quite the
you
full
were there
five.
For a while.
Yeah. For the first like 2.5 hours, we were just having fun. So it was, let me set the context too. So they set it up with obviously a game where they say no one's going to get eliminated. It's the potato sack race. It's a classic Mr. Beast fashion. I don't know how none of us.
The bait and switch.
The bait and switch. Yeah. These are your friends. Like pick your friends and then boom, you go against each other. So it was me, my best friend Jake on the show. He's Samoan. Very cool guy. I met him pre-Vegas, and then we just hit it off right away. And then we were with this tall girl named Vice in our cube as well, who neither of us knew very well. Mm-hmm. But we did play. I mean, I played cornhole with her very briefly for probably like 15 minutes.
Okay.
The day before. So we picked her, and then it was my friend Jake. And then we didn't want her to think that there was like a vendetta against her or it was going to be like 2v1.
Like there was in some other cubes for sure.
Right. Like we wanted it to be fair and play honest between all three of us.
Yeah.
So then 2.5 hours go by. We did some freestyling. We did some dancing. We did.
You were rapping in there?
Yeah, the freestyle was actually a banger. If they do behind the scenes, I would hope that they would put that in or something.
Yeah.
It did not fit the dramatic vibe of that episode for sure.
Yeah, they're trying to build the suspense.
Yeah.
And you guys are just having fun.
Yeah.
Just hanging out. But yeah, how did you decide... And why did you eliminate her?
After two...
I don't know who it was.
After 2.5 hours, we decided on Uno. We ordered Uno at first. They couldn't get Uno to us right away, so then they gave us a deck of cards.
Sure.
And then we're just going to play like mock Uno with a deck of cards, but then they finally gave us Uno with probably like an hour, 20 minutes or something left.
Okay.
So then Uno, as I'm sure you know, is already one of the most intense games you could probably play.
Of course.
It was just our group of three. The person who wins the first game is immediately safe.
Yeah.
And that one went by pretty fast. We all also shuffled and then passed it around. So we each got a turn to shuffle and like cut it. So it was completely random and shuffled.
Okay.
My friend Jake wins right away. So then here I am in a heads up game of Uno. With a chance of $5 million.
$5 million game of Uno is crazy.
So my heart is just like dropping through my anus right now, just like down to the floor. Absolutely. Like I've never felt adrenaline like this in my life.
Yeah.
And then it was like, it's crazy because if you have a skip, you can just stack the skips. Go skip, skip, skip. So I had a few skips. Then she would skip me. Then she'd do like a +4. Then I'd do a +4.
Woo.
So then finally at one point I had like a +4 wild. And I had two cards left, so I switch it down. I switch it to green. I say Uno. Then she switches back and does like another +4 my direction, switches the color. And then I get another +4 from her +4, and I switch it to green, back down to 2. So it's the green and then my final green again. And I'm just like, please place anything green, and I win. So then she places down a green, and I just place down my last card, and then I just sit doubled over for like 5 minutes. It was really awkward. Like I said, like, sorry. And she was like, don't be sorry. Like, we played a fair game.
Yeah.
She gracefully handcuffed herself, which I appreciate because she could have easily just been like, no, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, there was a guy who did do that. They played a game and he lost, and he said, "You know what? I'm not doing it. We're all eliminated." That was another part of it where if you don't choose someone, all three of you are done. So,
and that was crazy.
Yeah. No kidding.
We were in there for like 5 minutes. We were trying to get out. Like, we're like, okay, we're done. Like, can someone let us out? But then we just kind of like sat with our emotions for like 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And then they finally opened the door and then we're walking out a little bit like rattled. Like,
yeah, that's tough. No, that's a tough decision to make. Well, speaking of another tough decision, I think this happened in a later episode where it was basically you were in a group of four, and essentially the four of you had to decide on one person who gets to get on a helicopter and go to the island and continue on in the show. How did you guys reach your decision of coming to rock, paper, scissors to get that? Because it kind of seemed like you guys wanted this one guy to get on the helicopter, and then this other guy was just kind of like, No. Let me get on the helicopter. And then they did rock, paper, scissors, right?
Yeah, so it was teams of six.
Okay, I got you.
So we were under the impression, he says, getting groups of six. We anticipated that these six, like the winning group of six, would be on the last helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
So during these helicopter challenges, there are 10 helicopters, each with six spots on them. And if you secure a spot on a helicopter through various mini games, then you get a spot to go to Beast Island in Panama.
Uh-huh.
So there were like 140 to start, and then 60 moved on.
Uh-huh.
So this was the very final helicopter challenge. This was our last ditch effort to make it to Panama.
Right.
And so we got in our group that we assumed would be our helicopter of our six. So I was close with all those people on that platform.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And earlier that day, I had like a moment in my head where my friend Jake, I felt like if I had a chance to let him move on or there was an opportunity for him to advance, I was going to give it to him. Yeah. I don't know what.
That's a good friend right there.
Yeah. That's what transpired in my head or like what's really led me to that conclusion. But then as soon as that happened, I gave my coin right to Jake, and then I hoped that like other people on the platform would follow.
Yeah.
And then four of them, so we had four coins total, his, mine, two others. And then the other guy, Christian, got one coin, so we had two. So it's 4v2
okay.
In terms of coin. You need the majority to be able to run on the helicopter.
Right.
Or you need the entirety.
Right.
So
you need everyone to come to a decision. Yeah. Unanimous.
And then there were like 10 platforms, too. So it was only the first six platforms. So we kind of had to move quickly, too. So there's a lot of like antsiness and like rushing.
Yeah. But everyone wanted Jake to go, but then the one guy was kind of held out.
Which I don't blame him either, because it's like that's your last
$5 million.
Right. So... yeah, so then I was like, come on, like, you guys got to pick someone, kind of egging them on. That was my second speaking line in the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, yeah, Jake, I think it was best out of three. My friend Jake won the first one, then lost two in a row, and then Christian ran to the helicopter.
That's tough.
Retrospectively,
so he just kind of held down. He's like, no, I'm not giving you the coin. Let's rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah, he was just being a little stubborn.
Dang.
Which, retrospectively, I wish I made it into like a 3-person rock, paper, scissors.
Is that guy still in the show? Is that guy still?
He got out in the physical, the orange team physical challenge.
Okay, good.
The physical ones.
Good.
good. I mean, I wish the best for him. Like, I was friends with him too. I played a lot of basketball with him. But yeah, I wish I would have somehow just given myself a chance in that situation. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, you can't change what happened. And it was just, I was grateful to make it that far anyways, because it was a lot of random, like, probability challenges, self-sacrifice. But
yeah,
I wish I would have just given myself a chance. So that's what I kicked myself a little bit for. Mm-hmm. But we also had other opportunities that we didn't capitalize on. And at the end of the day, not everyone can win. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, I do got a couple more Beast Games questions for you. I do want to talk Super Bowl and NBA, too. There's so much shit in the NBA. A couple more Beast Games thing. What are you doing in between challenges? Because I feel like they make it, you know, they move it quick in the show, but I feel like there's a lot of downtime when they're setting stuff up or taking stuff down, you know?
Especially when the players were still like 2,000, 1,500. The setup in between the challenges would take sometimes
hours.
3 to 4 hours.
Yeah.
And we'd just be standing around kind of hanging out.
Sure.
Especially in Vegas, like, there were times where I'd just be, like, so fatigued, and then we didn't, like, the anticipation of what's coming next is always
You're just in your head, just waiting for hours.
You're
like,
in your head. People
what
are
challenge do I not even know what's going to happen here?
They're spread, like, people are spreading rumors about what they might think it is.
Oh, people are doing mind games before the games.
Well, I don't even think it's as much like mine. Some of it.
Some people are just trying to spread fake news. Like,
yeah, so we actually did that at one point at the trivia team during the Towers. Yeah, so our team said that their team, like, we spread a rumor that their team had a mole among, like, the trivia team.
Mm-hmm.
So then their team was just on edge. I don't really think that affected their trivia, but it seemed like it affected their team morale, and it kind of worked, and people got in their heads.
Don't worry, I'm just plugging this in.
Oh, no worries.
Just in case we die here.
There's a janky setup for you.
But where were we?
Do you want to rotate it a little?
Oh, I just rotated it.
Just a smidgen. There you go.
Social media mogul over here. And Goose, let me say this. Would you like to do a new segment presented by no one?
Of course.
He's nervous. Because he already vetoed my first idea. I won't get into that. But this segment is inspired by Beast Games. Actually, it's just stolen from Beast Games. This segment's called Take the Bribe. So you get all the money in my F-bomb jar here. I think it's $55.
Okay.
See, $55 bribe if you tell me who your least favorite player in Beast Games was and why they're your least favorite player. Do you want to take the bribe here?
$55.
If not, we can move on. You don't have to say anything.
One thing Beast Games taught me is you always take the bribe.
Don't worry, I'll reimburse this money for my auntie's charity. If you take the bribe, 55. You're like trying to think of a good answer now. You're like, I need that money.
Well, I'm taking the bribe for sure. I just need to think about who my least favorite is.
Why?
And why?
Damn, jeez. Most expensive podcasts yet.
I know they're all good people.
But who's the worst? Who was the worst?
The worst. Should I do like...
Whatever.
Out of like the known characters, or
I don't know. Who do you want to put on blast for $55? Give me a player number.
I'm a seller. I'm gonna say Jeremy, Longbeard Jeremy.
Oh, the religious guy?
Yes.
That's how I know him. Well, I know he turned down $1 million, and I don't know. People were calling him like a cult leader and stuff.
Yeah.
Why is he your least favorite?
Okay, I'm going to stand by my word. I'll say Jeremy was my least favorite, and I would say it has a lot to do with the cult narrative that was built around him.
Yeah.
I'll try to give, like, brief context for anyone who hasn't seen the show. Jeremy was one of the four captains in episode 2 who had the opportunity to take $1 million to sacrifice 60 people on his team. He didn't take it. But what people didn't see is that every single morning... or every other morning, there would be a church service led at Beast City when you wake up at like 10 or 11 a.m., which I have no problem with. That's not the reason that I don't like Jeremy. But
yeah,
it just drew a large crowd and fixation to him.
Yeah.
Where people started getting...
People started following him blindly.
Right. It was like, there's only 6 spots on a helicopter. You can't bring like 100 people. So when he was in a position...
That kind of got me mad what he did there.
When he was in position to take people on his helicopter, all these like girls were screaming in my face, like, give your coin to Jeremy. Give your coin to Jeremy. Like, what are you doing? Do it now.
But then there was other girls who were saying like, don't give your coin to him. He's not going to pick any women. Right?
Right. Yeah. Which I was not concerned about... the genders on the island. I did not care when there was a lot of guys or a lot of girls.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of these girls who were led astray and just like, give it to Jeremy, because they thought he was going to pick them, and they were just delusional. They were following the crowd. They were being sheepish.
Yeah.
And he ended up picking the one girl who sabotaged the previous game. I didn't really like any of his picks. They were all kind of like...
That was the only woman... The only girl he picked was the one who... Like, the game before was, like, you have to drop a ball exactly, like, a second before 5 minutes. So you're counting down in your head, and this girl just starts going, 17, 49. And she's just screwing everyone up, and that's the one woman he picked. And then his other picks, he's like, well, I don't want to, you know, I want to make this fair. So I'm going to have the two friends that I have, I'm going to let them pick someone. It's like, that's not fair.
Yeah, it was crazy. He picks, like, he's the cult leader. Then he picks, like, the two co-cult leaders.
Yeah.
Like, he picks his two henchmen.
Yeah.
And then he trusts them to pick two more of the henchmen. Like, it's like, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah. They're
going to
pick their friends.
They show briefly, like, he gives a prayer to God before he makes his picks. Like, he's just dragging out. I think he was kind of using religion for his own benefit within the show, which
yeah,
I had friends who were very religious on the show who did not go to the church services, and they were just like, I don't know what type of representation of Christianity that is. But I just thought that it was all for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
And he was like, he's a great guy, but
he was like using his strong
right.
faith to kind of lead people astray a little bit almost.
Yeah. And then,
okay. Well, there's more? There's more?
No, no, Jeremy. I guess I won't just keep drilling Jeremy.
Just keep
that, does that suffice
Jeremy.
For them?
I kind of hope Jeremy sees this. That'd be funny. But, let's move on. Did you watch Squid Game?
Yes, I did.
Okay. What
did Here, wait, can I say one more thing about Beast Game?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Go ahead.
I just wanted to know, what are your thoughts? Who do you think is going to win the top 10? Are you rooting for anyone?
I'm going to go with Tawana.
Yep.
I'm going to go with her. I think she deserves it. And she's like, she's been playing honestly, and she's been playing with integrity. I think that's been a big theme is like, you know, some people yeah. don't think it matters. They're like, I'll do whatever to get the $5 million. But I think it's going to end up, you know, biting that one guy in the ass from the last episode where he took over $500,000 and left some people with, you know, only $1,000, you know,
yep.
you're supposed to, everyone's like, oh, let's split up the million evenly. And he had the chance to do that. And instead he took over half of all the money. I'll go with Tawana there.
Okay.
But I was going to ask one more thing on Beast Games. What was your favorite moment, you know, personally? And probably, you know, something you were there for.
My favorite moment would probably be off camera.
Mm-hmm.
There was a moment after the cube challenges where, so there were these wranglers, and if we needed like deodorant or toothpaste or food or anything, like chips, they had chips at all times. Mm-hmm. We could go up to them, and they were wearing like black t-shirts and black pants. So after the episode 3 cube challenge, a lot of people were like emotionally drained. They'd go to get food or go, like, some people went to bed.
Sure.
But I just went right to the basketball court because ball is life. And there was a grouping of these wranglers in their white t-shirts and white pants.
Sure.
And then I get closer, and then in the middle, Mr. Beast is out of his wardrobe in a black t-shirt, black pants among that crowd. So I was like, can I play basketball? Is that okay? Like, are you meeting here? And then Mr. Beast, Jimmy, goes, of course. So then,
yeah.
Where he actually rebounded a couple basketballs for me. I was shooting.
No way.
He was asking my opinions on some of the challenge. Like,
you played pickup basketball with Mr. Beast?
I didn't play pickup basketball. He only rebounded for me.
Oh, hey, that's
But that's still
cool.
crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. So then I went over. He was like, what did you think of the challenge? I told him that he was like pretty devious. That's crazy.
Yeah, no shit.
This is even like happening. And then I shot a couple baskets. I think I missed both of them, and then he rebounded them, and I stopped shooting because I didn't want to miss a shot. These balls were very egg inflated, like
they're too
in OG
inflated.
Gym class, like it was like very lopsided.
One of those ones where if you slam it, it'll explode.
yeah, literally. It was like probably for like a $10 million, $20 million city that he built, you could have at least got some better basketballs. It's
yeah.
just a little crazy.
Yeah.
But then I stopped shooting because I didn't want to miss a ball and have it roll. If you miss poorly, it would roll very, very far.
Yeah.
So
you didn't want him to have
I saved
rebound.
His aura. I didn't
yeah.
want him to like have to chase down a basketball. No one can look attractive chasing down a basketball. And I did not want to see Mr. Beast in the lights of him running to pick up the basketball yeah. that I just missed. So I just stopped shooting.
You didn't want to see your hero. Like
right.
Okay.
Yeah. And then my friends came over. He probably only talked to me for like 4 or 5 minutes, and then he went to go talk to other people. But that was just super cool.
Yeah.
Being able to talk to him like that.
Hell yeah.
For you, though, I do have one more question.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes has scored Beast Games at 13%, I think.
Okay.
But then the audience score is at 89%.
Yeah.
So I want to give, honestly, what would you rate it on the 1 to 100 tomato scale? And then what are criticisms, and how could they improve it for season 2?
I was going to be biased and say 100, but no, I'll put it at 90. It's tough because, like, are you comparing this to, like, movies
right.
and TV shows?
There's never really been a show like this.
I was going to say 100 because it's the most entertaining game show I've ever watched in my entire life. Like, and that's not, maybe, like, surviving Barstool is probably, like, a close second.
Yeah.
It's just so entertaining. I don't know how many critiques I really have. I mean,
I've seen online a lot of people say they wish that there was less self-sacrifice challenges and it was a lot more skill-based.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think maybe he could have been slightly less devious. It's like, hey, I'm going to pair you up with your best friend in the show. We've been watching you this whole time, and the person you've had the most contact in with is your partner for this. One of you is going to die. It's like, maybe a little less on that, but
yeah.
I think that's a lot of that is what makes it so entertaining. It's mm-hmm. just because it's the most suspense you're going to get. And, you know, those dumb little suspense moments in Survivor, like other game shows, it's nothing compared to the suspense at Mr. Beast, I think.
Yeah, you really just never know what to expect.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty exciting.
But hey, everyone who hasn't seen it, go watch Beast Games on Prime Video. Look for Mr. Oh My God, Goose. Player 385. So if you see number 385,
sponsored.
You know it's Goose. Prime Video sponsors this shitty podcast. Thanks for coming on, by the way. But yeah, I think that's all I got on Beast Games. Yeah. We got the Super Bowl this week and the NBA trade deadline. It's going crazy. Let me start with the Super Bowl. Do you know the script? I think we both agree there's some sort of script, right?
Yeah, so I think if the referees are any indicator, I think that to get to this point was all a script. And once again, you have the evil Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl with obviously the Kelce Swift storyline going as strong as ever.
Power couple.
Yeah, it's just the script this year, though, I feel like could go in the Eagles' favor.
Breaking news, the Sacramento Kings are trading for Jonas Valanciunas. We don't need... there's bigger
That's
trades.
Crazy. Shout out Shams.
Shout out Shams. But yeah, so, I mean, who do you think America's rooting for in this game? Obviously, it's two teams no one really wanted here. I saw, like, there's a reference map, like, who America's rooting for in the Super Bowl. It's like, the city of Kansas City is rooting for the Chiefs. Philadelphia's rooting for the Eagles. The rest of the country's rooting for a meteor strike. You know, is there someone, you know, who would you root for? Who should America be rooting for? Because it really feels like a lose-lose to me.
I think in the history of sports, whenever a dynasty forms and they're on verge of a three-peat, I think they become the evil team and a lot of people root against them.
Yeah.
I think in this case, the Chiefs are the evil team, and the majority of Americans would probably be rooting for the Eagles, if not a meteor strike.
Yep.
But when you look at, like, the Warriors back in the day when KD joined, it was a super team. People were against them. Yeah. LeBron was on the Heat. People were against them.
Yeah.
The Patriots, I was never into football that much when I was younger, but was that kind of the sentiment around the Patriots?
Yeah. Pretty similar to how that people feel about the Chiefs.
So then I think all it comes down to is how do you really respond? If you can pull off a three-peat amidst all the hate, I feel like then you gain some of that love back, especially later down in your career. I think people forgive you and they're like, wow, that was just great talent and we can't deny that.
The respect comes back, yeah.
The respect does come back, but I think it comes down to this third championship. But also, I mean, yeah, my opinion for now is the Chiefs are evil, but I don't know if that would change if they win or if
it's like, in theory, I feel like I should be rooting for the Eagles, but Philadelphia fans are the worst.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
true.
You saw that video that Packers fan just getting verbally abused, but
yeah.
Yeah.
But, as a sports fan too, if they eliminate your team in the playoffs, I feel like if they win, then it's like, okay, well then if we almost beat them, then we could have won kind of thing. But yeah, I just not a big fan of Philly at all.
Yeah.
In any sport, the Chiefs, not a big fan of. So I'm going to be rooting for the commercials, and we'll kind of see what happens.
Yeah. Philadelphia is going to riot, win or lose. Win or lose.
Yeah, the city is getting destroyed, win or lose.
Either way. A little bit more on the football side. Do you think Patrick Mahomes passes Tom Brady with a win here? It would be the first ever three-peat in Super Bowl history.
With a win here, I think Patrick Mahomes is well on his way to surpassing Tom Brady. I don't think it solidifies the deal yet.
Not yet.
Because, once again, 7 Super Bowls is just crazy in general. But Brady won his fourth title at 37. So if Mahomes can do it at 29, He sets himself way above pace to destroy records. A three-peat, obviously, would be crazy on the resume. He already has a legacy, but this could be...
Yeah.
This could be on, like, anything we've ever
this
seen.
Just adds to their resume. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Last thing on the Super Bowl, I was going to ask you, are the Chiefs demonic? But you already called them evil, so...
Well, I would like to clarify a couple points on
Okay, on whether the Chiefs are demonic or not.
Yeah, so...
I didn't know you would have an answer to that one.
Do you just want
to
re-ask that?
Kind of an aside. Are the Chiefs demonic?
Yes. So you have Patrick Mahomes at 29, right?
Oh, no.
There are a lot of numbers. Guys, you just have to read into the numbers and look at the numbers.
Numerology.
There's definitely something more at play going on with this Chiefs team. If you look at Mahomes being 29 years old, 2 plus 9 is 11.
Okay.
And then he has three rings right now, so if you multiply it by three, you get 33.
Okay.
Keep following. This is really, really important.
Stay with us now.
So it's a dual effort. It's a two-headed snake that lead to the sorcery behind this Chiefs team. It's Mahomes and it's Kelce. So you take that 33 and you multiply it by two, you go 66.
Oh, God.
Now, here's where it comes in. The only way that the Chiefs are certainly demonic and there's a bigger force at play here is if they three-peat. If they three-peat, that 66 becomes a 666.
Oh, God.
And it's without a doubt that the Chiefs are harnessing the evil spirits to lift them into a three-peat.
Damn.
They didn't mean to, like, blow your mind or make
I'm just scared. I'm just scared of Patrick Mahomes.
And that's why I'm rooting for the Eagles even more.
I'm kind of rooting for the Chiefs because I have money on them. But regardless, I want to talk about the hat. What are your expectations for the halftime show? We got Kendrick Lamar out there. Are you excited for that? I don't know if you're a big Kendrick fan or not.
Yeah, I mean, I like Kendrick. I think, obviously, it's very... It's become a very weird state of rap music in general between obviously Kendrick and Drake. And I feel like everyone else is just kind of dropping a lot of garbage around these times. We're waiting for the next new artist to really do something cool.
Yeah.
I think it'll be a good show. I wonder if there's going to be any like special surprise people who pop out. Maybe Drake pops out and they like share a hug or like kiss or something on stage and they meet up. I really think that would be like a powerful statement for America though.
That'd really bring unity to our country.
I think it would be healing for sure. But in the off chance that doesn't happen, I think it'll be a great show regardless.
Yeah.
I don't think anything will ever top Katy Perry back in the day.
Really?
Core childhood Super Bowl.
My favorite one was, I think, Shakira and J-Lo.
Yeah, that was also
great.
A good one.
Great.
I still watch that sometimes for research purposes.
For research purposes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's all I got on the Super Bowl. Sorry to keep you too long. I know you got dinner.
Oh, no.
Worries. We're kind of stretching it here. We got a lot more to talk about. I left the NBA at the end. My first question for you isn't even a question at all. It's a statement. The Lakers are winning it all. We got Luka Doncic. I mean, we're winning the championship, right? I guess that's a question.
Maybe not now, but I think it does set up for a championship in the future. I mean, you guys literally got like one of the top three players in the NBA right now. He's on pace to be the GOAT.
Luka is?
Stat-wise. If you look at the stats, like
statistics.
His numbers are just, at this age, are just unprecedented.
Yeah.
And all you had to do was trade, like, Mr. Glass over to the Mavericks. Like, are you kidding me?
Anthony Day to Davis.
Yeah.
Put some respect on his name.
I will.
Title. Oh, okay.
Because I think the Mavericks, I think they could reach the Western Conference Finals this year. I think that was the whole purpose of this trade for them, was to win now.
Yep.
And then just screw over their entire franchise. I don't really understand the full purpose of it, but
I think the owners want to move the team to Vegas.
I heard that.
And they can't do it if they have Luka, so they got to tank the value of the team, you know. But
I did see that. Now that's out of Mark Cuban's control, I would not be shocked if that was like one motivator.
Yeah. Mark Cuban's just the minority owner now. But you had more in the AD trade?
Yeah, so I think
he's got his notes sheet out, guys.
I feel like he brought notes.
He came prepared.
I don't even know if I wrote this part down.
But I don't know. What are your overall thoughts?
Well, Luka was just an absolute robbery. I think that sets up the Lakers to win now and also sets them up for the next 10 years. Yeah. When LeBron leaves, they still have that star power in LA, and I think it's just great for them as a franchise. And obviously, it'll probably be great for Luka too, because they're going to have a lot of money, a lot of stars coming in and out. I think it's going to get really interesting in Los Angeles. The Mavericks are really interesting, though. If you look at 3 or 4 years ago, if you think about a team with Kyrie, AD, and Klay Thompson, that sounds like a really great trio.
Yeah.
I think they can still make a good run. They all have a lot of playoff experience.
Yeah.
So I think these guys could come together in like some sort of, I don't want to say it's their last dance because they're not quite that old, but it's kind of like a grab bag of some of the great old players.
They got a short window here. Small window. Kind
Very of. Small window, but I think it could be fun to see if they all stay healthy. But the Lakers definitely won this far and away.
Yeah, for sure. I can't disagree with you there. We do need a center, though. We got some other trades. You think the Spurs can make some noise with De'Aaron Fox here?
I do. I really do. It's just going to depend on how they finish out the rest of the season. I think it sets them up for the next couple years greatly. Yeah.
I think they can sneak in, maybe get the 9 or 10, but yeah. I don't know.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because right now they're 12th. They're 3-7 in the last 10.
Ooh,
I think they're like 5 or 6 games under 500. The West is very competitive, and a lot of teams are hanging around that 500 mark. Just slightly higher gets you in decent playoff position, but I think a lot of teams are tied for – and things are going to shift as the season goes on, obviously, too. But, yeah, I think Chris Paul was too old, and obviously they knew that. I think a younger superstar kind of point guard is exactly what you'd be looking to pair with Wemby. So I think that they'll only just continue to gel and get better. And I think if they go on a decent run at some point in this latter half of the season and then can hover around 500 for the rest of the games, I think they'll at least be able to sneak in 9 or 10 and then hopefully sneak in the playoffs from the play-in.
Yeah, I like it. I kind of think the Kings won that trade, although I do think the Spurs are also, maybe it's a win-win, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the Spurs are set up for the future, but then the Kings got 4 first-round picks?
Yeah, they got a lot of first
It's like, how did the Lakers not have to give Dallas 4 first?
Yeah, I mean, that's just happened in the dark, and they were able to scam them, basically, because if any word gets out, they were thinking about trading Luka, then everything.
Yeah, they said the only other team the Mavs talked to was the Bucks, and they said, can we have Giannis? And the Bucks said, get the fuck out of here. Right. What are you talking about? Get out of here. But speaking of the Bucks, this was going to be my last question, but I think the answer to it is no. I was going to ask you, are the Bucks after Jimmy Butler? But after today, where they traded Chris Middleton for Kyle Kuzma, it doesn't seem like they are. So what were your kind of thoughts on this Kuzma-Middleton trade?
I'm just sick to my stomach. I don't really know what John Horst was really doing these past couple years, even. I would have loved to target LaVine. I think he fits in with our team. Maybe even Beal. I think Beal's getting a little older.
Yeah.
Or he's just getting like a little worse. He's regressing.
You had other trade targets on your mind.
Yeah, and Kyle Kuzma was not a part of any of these ideal situations I had in my head. I just want to read through his shooting splits right now. He's currently shooting. I have it on my notes here. Kuzma is trash. He's shooting 42 from the field, 28% from three-pointer, which maybe not this season, but that's like worse than Giannis.
Oh.
And he's shooting 60% on his free throw. Now, this is something I will never be able to fathom. He shot 70 and high 70s free throw his entire career. How do you just fall off the edge of a cliff, drop 10% in your free throw shooting for no apparent reason other than you are probably just a trash can? So I'm not excited to see Kyle Kuzma on my basketball team, and I do not care.
Damn. And it probably hurts losing NBA champion like Chris. You know, he was a stalwart in Milwaukee for forever.
I think if we were planning on getting rid of him, we should have shopped a year ago or a year and a half ago when maybe he has more value. Obviously, he's dealing with his injuries. But we definitely had to make a move. I think Brooke and Bobby, too, I would have loved. Maybe they'll still like be involved in some sort of piece, but we needed a younger.
I thought you guys should have went after Jimmy Butler, but every Bucks fan I brought that up to was like, no, I don't want Jimmy Butler.
No, I think watching him in the finals run against the Nuggets, I think that was like the last of him at like a really, really high level.
Yeah, that was kind of end of his prime, you think.
End of his prime, and it still looked like he was, like his age was showing throughout the rest of that season. He just turned it on for the playoffs. And I just don't think Jimmy Butler really meshes with our team well. I think he's getting too old. I think he's not a good shooter, which we need shooting. We just have no shooting now.
Yeah.
Especially with Chris Middleton gone and his Kuzma.
You got any inclination on where Jimmy might go? I have no idea.
Pat Riley doesn't have to trade him. I wouldn't be surprised if Pat Riley just
keeps him.
Keeps him and just makes him like wine and waste. Because like, there's one thing. I don't really know that whole situation. I guess like no one really knows what's going on behind the scenes. But when any player like refuses to play or starts like bitching and moaning, do I have to...
No, there's no okay. swear jar for interviews. That's my little...
Oh, there you go. But, yeah, just... He does not seem like the type of player that really I'd want on my team for culture purposes. Like, it seems like he's that dog when he was in, like, in Philly or whatever. But it also seems like he just leads to problems in a lot of places he goes. And he's too old to be causing problems nowadays, so... I think the Bucks are, I mean, I don't know. Doc Rivers never moved the needle for me now. Now, retrospectively, I was very hopeful for him, but I don't think he changed anything. The Dame experiment is going well. I mean, these two are still putting on a show most nights, but it's just not what you want to see as a Bucks fan.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see what happens, and maybe he'll come back on the show and talk some more Bucks basketball.
I think we should do a playoff right for the playoffs.
Yeah,
I love doing the predictions. I love making predictions and
yeah, the NBA playoff preview with Goose. Okay, I like it. Let's set it in stone.
Well, thank you for having me, brother.
Hey, thanks so much for coming on the show, man. Really appreciate it. And go watch Beast Games on
ad sponsor
Prime.
Hashtag ad. Check it out.
Sponsor us, Jimmy.
All right,
back. Thanks, bro.
Thanks again, Goose, for pulling up, bro. Really appreciate it as always. Fun talking Beast Games, NBA, Super Bowl, all that good stuff. Let's do it again sometime. But for now, let's get to everybody's favorite moment of the week, which is, of course, the Goosebump moments of the week. Starting off at number 10, we have Duke student Raphael Lee hitting a half-court shot to win $19,000.
That's not it. Come on. Come on. Don't throw the ball back at him.
No!
He got it, baby!
He got it.
With time left on the shot clock.
Side. Number 9, Amelia Wood forces OT from her seat.
Backside and ties the game.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
My goodness, what a shot by Wood! First the Pioneers bench is going nuts!
Number 8, Kadari Richmond hits the game winner for St. John's.
Fighting through Pierre, Richmond from the free throw line. Good! Good! St. John's by 2! Joseph at midcourt! Joseph for the win! No good!
Number 7, Boston College scores 5 points in 4 seconds to stun FSU.
State inbounding. Look out. It's stolen by Kelly. Puts up a three. He's got it. Sam Kelly hits a three with 3.7 seconds left.
Number 6, D'Lo and the Brooklyn Nets score 6 points in 3 seconds to win it. Number 5, Jason Tatum pulls up to hit the gamer over 2 defenders.
The chance to win this in regulation. Tatum going to work. Elbow jumper. Yes, sir! Jason Tatum delivers another last second jumper.
Number 4, Trae Young hits a disgusting fall away game winner.
With the airtight defense. Step back, fire. Got it! A 3-pointer for Trey. Timeout, Detroit. How in the world did he get that shot off? And how in the world did he hit it?
This is a crazy shot.
I mean, Beasley is in his jersey.
Number 3, Bam Adebayo drains one at the buzzer for the win.
Fire for the win. Yes! A walk-off victory for Bam Adebayo and the Heat.
Number 2, Brian Moore Jr. hits a walk-off running three.
To win the game, it's good! This is Sparta!
I mean, great set right here. You send Kuel Meding up. Brian Moore receives it, and he gets it off in time.
Oh, yeah.
That's clean.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bucket. Moore.
8
Number one moment of the week, Matt Heyman's half-court shot at the buzzer wins a wild one for Stephen F. Austin.
A huge three to tie it with 2.3 to go. SFA will try to launch one from the backcourt. Heyman banked it in! And the Lumberjacks win it. Matt Heyman from the backcourt caps an unbelievable comeback victory for Stephen F. Austin, the 6'3 senior. Banked it.
What a shot from Matt Heyman. What a comeback for Stephen F. Austin. Great goosebump moments of the week. Basketball is heating up, ladies and gentlemen, but you know that because that's basically all I've been talking about this whole show. But let's finish it out and actually talk some football, what the people really want, with my Super Bowl picks. I did them last year where I just picked a bunch of weird prop bets. Figured it was maybe a fun tradition to start. So I'm going to give multiple picks here for the Super Bowl. Do I know how or where you can bet on this stuff? No. But it is fun to talk about them. So here are my prop bets for the Super Bowl. Will any player or coach cry during the national anthem? Yes is minus 115, almost even money. But that was on Gridiron Experts. The line is yes minus 430 on the New York Times. I don't feel as comfortable with that line, but I do expect at least one player to cry during the national anthem. One of the more patriotic things you can do, but not the best odds on it. So unless you got big money, you're not going to make a whole lot of money on the player or coach crying during the national anthem bet. This next bet is really stupid. It's the Drake Super Bowl curse bet. What team will he be represented? Chiefs are minus 170. Eagles are plus 130. I'm hammering the Chiefs minus 170. Drake always bandwagons on to the best teams. So he's definitely picking the Chiefs. The funny thing to me here is that they're not even giving you an option to bet neither. They're just outwardly saying they're like, he's going to wear one of the jerseys. He's going to represent one of these teams. So I thought that was funny, but bet on the Chiefs for that. Here's another good one. How many times will Taylor Swift be shown live throughout the game? The over-under is 5.5. I am hammering the over. And in fact, I wouldn't even be surprised if she comes out and performs Bad Blood with Kendrick Lamar, who's doing the halftime show. That performance alone would hit the over. But either way, I think we'll see Taylor at least six times during this game. So that's an easy over to me. Here's one that's got some good odds, and it's pretty likely. Will Travis Kelce propose to Taylor Swift? Yes is plus 500. Hammer that. That's easy money. That's the storybook ending. The Chiefs win, and then Kelce proposes. Taylor says yes, and they go to Disneyland and have a happily ever after. Last prop I got for y'all here is Kendrick Lamar halftime show guests. I'm taking Baby Keem plus 170. I just keep thinking back to that Drake line where he's like, K-Dot shit is only hitting hard when Baby Keem put his pen to it. It's like, dumbass line, because Baby Keem was 12 years old when Kendrick started blowing up, and he definitely wasn't writing those lyrics as a 12-year-old. But I think it's likely that Baby Keem comes out, maybe performs Family Ties, or I forgot the song of that name of that other one, but I think Kendrick is likely to bring his cousin out, Baby Keem, as a surprise halftime show guest. But last bet, and you might be able to see it in the corner on my whiteboard over there. Last bet I'm gonna make here is Chiefs money line. I'm definitely not influenced at all by my own bet, which will hit plus 390 if the Chiefs win this. I had Chiefs over Eagles before Championship Sunday, so I got decent odds on it. So definitely not at all influenced by that, but I do think the Chiefs win. I truly do believe that Roger Goodell will do the wrong thing here and rig the game in favor of the Chiefs. I think the NFL has been trying to prop up Mahomes for a while now in order to fuel a kind of Brady Mahomes GOAT debate, you know, keep the sport relevant even when one team's dominating. Kind of reminds you of, you know, LeBron Jordan debate always being in the news. So I think they're going to give Mahomes, you know, his three-peat here, because then you have an argument early in his career. You can make an argument that Mahomes is already the GOAT. So you'll be able to have that debate up until Mahomes wins his seventh ring, which is probably what it would take to pass Brady, since Brady already beat him in a Super Bowl at age 41, 42. But yeah, I do think Patty Ice will become the first ever quarterback to lead his team to a Super Bowl three-peat. And unfortunately, there's not a damn thing we can do about it.